You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 2nd of April, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we are broadcasting live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. I hope you don't have a cough and a fever or any such like.
Well, the governor of Pennsylvania has issued a stay-at-home order. But then when you read the stay-at-home order, it's the exact same thing as what he's been doing for the last week. So I guess it was just an excuse to have a news conference and make it seem that he's being very strict on this. But it's headline news today, and it's exactly the same thing as what he's been saying for at least the last week or 2 weeks. So it was a lot of sensationalism over nothing. So that's what life is like in this state.
Has it made much difference for you, the stay-at-home order? It hasn't made much difference for me, to be honest. I don't think it has for much of us podcasters, you know. Most of the time we're at home here making our podcasts. Have you seen much change yourself in your own personal life, Matt?
Well, the one good thing about all this is that it makes my lifestyle seem normal. So I feel better about myself.
It makes everybody live the same way that we do, doesn't it, really? Well, we're going to be looking at a particular part of society today that doesn't live life in the same way that we do, and it likes to talk down to us, and it likes to pretend that it's just the same as the working man, and that has started to get really, really grating and very irritating for the general public. And of course, we're talking about these celebrities here and the way that they are responding to these quarantines, from bizarre renditions of John Lennon's Imagine to messages from their mansions and hot tubs shaming others for daring to live their lives during this pandemic. One could argue celebrities are now even more insufferable than they were before. What makes matters worse is a mainstream media that can't get enough of it. Not only do they want to cover every celebrity's coronavirus message with a puff piece, but they also want to prop these people up as experts that we should be listening to. CNN, in their attempt to milk any and every angle on the coronavirus, has turned to both Sean Jeff Spicoli Penn and author Stephen King, both coincidentally notoriously critical of the Trump administration, for words of wisdom in this trying time. In a recent interview with Anderson Cooper, Penn, who has described Trump as an enemy of mankind, appeared to be propped up as some kind of military expert, based on his charity work in places like Haiti. He mumbled his way through the segment and encouraged the US military, which he describes as a humanitarian force, to take control of the country's response efforts against the spread of the virus. Imagine that. The same guy who made his name starring as a stoner in the 1982 comedy Fast Times at Ridgemont High is now being given center stage on a major television network to encourage giving the US military more power and control over citizens. You just can't make this stuff up. And of course, we've got cover versions. We've got Madonna in the bath. In actual fact, I think, you know, the best thing about this is seeing these people trying to look after their kids, and you can see what a state they are at home. And also these businesswomen that the BBC and the mainstream media like to hold up as, these examples to everyone else. They're high-flying businesswomen. And you see them at home having to look after their children themselves. And you can see, you know, the only reason why they've managed to be a success as a businesswoman or be a success as a celebrity is because they're absolute failures at mothers. And now they haven't got the nurse there. They haven't got the home help. They haven't got the tutor for the child. They're just tearing their hair out. They don't know how to deal with it. They're a right mess. Very, very embarrassing. But just, yeah, these celebrities, Matt, they're just starting to get really annoying, aren't they? What do you make of it?
Well, celebrity worship comes into existence at a time where there is no other foundation for identity, whether it be racial or ethnic or religious or any combination of those. Celebrities are offered as an alternative. It fits the pagan pantheon of Greece or Rome exactly. You have those who are more intellectual, those who are more sexual, those who make their money, you know, in one field or another. They're the exact copy of the pantheon of classical Greece and Rome. And this is what they are. But I think that's what pagan gods were in the first place. These are everything that the alienated American wants to be. But issues, well, this is the only issue in existence right now, but issues are commodities. And just like they promote, celebrities are used to promote every product on the market, well, issues are just another product that they used to promote them. And I, for one, was a big fan of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I've seen that movie 1,000 times. I think it may have had too much of an influence over my young life. But this shows that now the military is a liberal institution, as I've been saying for a long time. Back when I was growing up, it was the conservative bulwark because of Vietnam. Now they want a military coup here. They wanted a military coup when Trump first got elected. They want this guy wants a military-dominated society. Can you imagine? This would have been impossible in the 80s. The left would have freaked out. But this just proves that the regime sees the military as a liberal institution, and all the purges of the top brass have made that a reality. So that's something that really frightened me about this piece in particular. This is the second time that the left has demanded military takeover society.
Well, you don't expect to hear that from celebrities, do you? I think a lot of it is they're just trying to remain relevant. I don't know what it's like over there in America, but a lot of the TV programs have shut down here. Instead of having 3 a week, they're just having 2 a week. The live shows where they have audiences in, they're just talking to people over the internet, and the internet isn't good enough to do that because these celebrities live in rural areas. They don't have to live in the diverse multicultural areas that they champion. And where they live, the internet isn't good enough. So you get, you get the sound cutting out, you get the pictures stopping. I think we've also seen some of them trying to do live streams. And again, that's just fallen completely flat. And we're really showing them, you know, we're the experts at this sort of stuff, you know, podcasting and live streams and using the internet to get a message out there. And they're just total failures at it. And of course, we've also had this karaoke thing, this karaoke, absolute awful rendition of Imagine. The instigator of the ghastly cover version, Israeli actress and faux activist Gal Gadot of Wonder Woman fame, later upped the oblivious ante by tweeting a photo of herself, captioned, "Staying at home is your superpower," from her walk-in wardrobe flush with designer gear. And this is the woman behind that awful karaoke video. Meanwhile, in Italy and Spain, the working classes cram onto balconies in high-rise apartments with singing from building to building as their only way of communication, and will probably enjoy their superpowers a lot more if they also had Gadot's disposable living space or a fraction of her reported $10 million net worth. Gadot's purportedly powerful and pure, but ultimately tone-deaf and out-of-touch video has unfortunately spread just like the virus it attempts to combat, and the inspiration passed on to another set of superstars with arguably even less self-awareness than the award season social justice warriors, and of course we are talking about footballers. The world's most watched athletes have joined the quarantine craze-setting movement and invented the 10-touch challenge, in which major stars such as Lionel Messi challenge their equally economically comfortable friends to keep a toilet roll in the air with 10 keepy-uppy touches. That comes on top of the players flooding Instagram with posts from their swanky personal gyms, with their influencer model girlfriends dancing and working out together in not so self-isolation, whilst relationships worldwide crumble under the stress of coping in crisis and quarantine, and couples are stranded and separated by travel and border restrictions. I mean, it's extremely tactless, isn't it, really, to be doing this sort of thing when people are having so many problems. And I think I can add to this as well, as well as these footballers doing keepy-uppies with toilet rolls, we're also seeing athletes that are showing how they're still going to run the marathon by running in circles around their garden. And there's been quite a few videos of them doing that, which just, I don't know, just all looks ridiculous to me. What do they think they're playing at, Matt?
Well, just like everything else, this really lays bare the class-connected nature of all of this. You're forced to stay home in a mansion, or you're forced to stay home in a tenement apartment. You know, these people, you know, have any number of staff at their place. It's much more comfortable, much easier for them to do this, even you know, having full-time medical people. But remember, these guys aren't free agents. I'm not sure about the athletic guys, but celebrities working for the big, either the record companies or the movie, you know, Universal or Paramount, they're employees, and they do what they're told. Their contracts are hundreds of pages long, in terms of the images that they're allowed to put out and things that they're allowed to say. You can't own a person, but you can own their image. And speaking of which, you've noticed how ugly some of these people really are. Because they don't have access to the professional makeup people and everything else. You're seeing people who I used to think were attractive now, you know, live streaming from home, and they're very average looking. They don't have makeup or the professional staff there, and they also don't have tone or pitch correction or auto-tune for their horrible. You know, none of these people can, you know, seem to be anything extraordinary. They seem to be average people who have been given this role in exchange for what we think is a lot of money. I wonder to what extent these mansions are even theirs. I think so much of this is in the realm of myth. But again, these people are promoting a product. This is all they know how to do with the product, whether it be ideology or a commodity on the market. And that's what they're doing. But I suppose in North Italy, they're not hugging Chinamen anymore. I think that may have fallen out of favor, but the, you know, they're still condemning closed borders even with all this. And as we speak, Russia still has no substantial cases. Eastern Europe has no substantial effect here, and Russia has just sent several plane loads worth of medical equipment to the U.S., which made me laugh, showing who really was prepared for this.
Yeah, I think the Visegrad countries are doing really well as well. Viktor Orban, they're all complaining that he's given himself dictatorial powers, and the first thing he did was ban Transvisionary Day or whatever it was supposed to be. Anyway, he banned some transsexual rights, and also the only cases of coronavirus were Iranian refugees in the country, and they refused to do as they were told. They refused to quarantine. They infected others, so he booted them out of the country, basically. But the Visegrad countries have done very well at keeping coronavirus out by closing their borders and saying no to immigration. And it's another good point that you bring up there, that these celebrities don't have their makeup artists there. And you can see the ones who actually have real beauty, because they still look good at 9 o'clock in the morning without the makeup artist. There was one, I'm not sure whether I should actually say her name, that I saw today, and she absolutely looked dreadful. And normally she looks very beautiful. So it's a good point that you raise there. And we've got another athlete celebrity here, Serena Williams. She claims she's under a ton of stress, and we should all be feeling sorry for her. Among those self-isolating is 23-time Grand Slam winner Williams. But like her fellow sporting elites, her lockdown measures are likely a very far cry from being confined to a cramped apartment in Barcelona. Williams, 38, boldly announced a week ago that she was going to spend the next 6 weeks in solitude, as the tennis calendar is put on hold amidst the coronavirus chaos. Spending the next 6 weeks in solitude, being a wife, being a mum, cooking, cleaning, spring cleaning, face mask, makeup tutorials. I'll let you know how it goes. Stay safe, everyone. This is serious. She posted on Instagram. And I can actually compare that to Simon Harris. I mean, he's holed up in an apartment in Barcelona, and he's been tweeting pictures of the state of the food he's having to endure every day, because he can't get out to actually get any food. And here you've got this this 23-time Grand Slam winner, and she's just talking about doing makeup tutorials and cooking and cleaning and being a mum and being a wife and really looking forward to it. I mean, it's absolute hypocrisy and really doesn't show a lot of respect for the average working man, I don't think, Matt.
I had no idea that someone married her. And did you see the outfit she was wearing? She's wearing that tutu, that
not
frilly
again.
Thing. It's like she's lost her mind. But I suppose it's for the money, because anyone who marries that, there's, you know, maybe you just got out of prison or something. But what she's describing here is the way a lot of women live their normal lives. And she's acting like this is some sort of a punishment. Well, I'll get through it somehow. You know, she's using this to change her image after her meltdown, what it was a year ago, whenever that was, cooking, cleaning. I'm pretty sure she's not cooking or cleaning. I'm sure she has someone for that, given what she's allegedly worth. Makeup tutorials makes me laugh. That you know, she has any competence there. I don't know if she endorses anything. But she's acting like this is something she has to get through. And what she has to get through is how everyone else lives. But for her to say that she's suffering and this is under a ton of stress, you know, I think they want everyone to believe that they're normal, that they're just like everybody else. But they're anything but. Or they are, but they've been put in this position and they've lost whatever humanity they've had. But I just and I also didn't know Godot was Israeli. Because she is, I thought at least, was a legitimately beautiful woman, and they're not exactly known for that kind of thing. But I think the person you may be referring to is Sarah Silverman, who, despite being vile, I always thought was very physically attractive. But oh my God, you know, she's like starting to look like Gollum. But she's you know, without her makeup and everything else, she's looks like a totally different human being. But I had no idea Godot was from Israel. I had no clue. Especially with that name, who would have thought of that? But I would marry them tomorrow, rather than be within 5 feet of Serena Williams.
Yeah, I think Sarah Silverman, she's in that video as well. I actually thought it was you know, the woman that did that video. I actually thought she was a non-white journalist from Britain. I didn't realize it was some Wonder Woman character there. But this, you know, that point that you're making there, Matt, about you know, about them saying how stressful it is, they're going to have to cook and clean and be a mother. You know, that's the point I was trying to make earlier, that you can see that just actually having to do the things that normal mothers normally do is, you know, it's enough to cause them to have a nervous breakdown. And they're like that. When you see the state of them, the ones that have got children, when you see them on the television and they haven't been able to do their makeup for themselves and they really are tearing their hair out because they don't know what to do with the kids. I mean, being a mother should just come naturally to women once they've actually given birth. But you can see that they've neglected to do this because they've devoted all their time to their celebrity, basically. So what's basically happening here is that the bread and the circuses are being taken away. The money is being taken away. So the bread is gone. People can't get out to the shops. There's food missing from the shops. And the circuses have gone as well. There's no more television there. And this is really laying bare the true American empire. Regular Americans can no longer numb themselves with sports and gluttony, freeing them to clearly see the malignantly craven ruling class that exploits and despises them. If only they would open their eyes to reality. Anyone who has the eyes to see can clearly make out that America is an addled empire in steep decline that is firmly entrenched in its bread and circuses stage. This has been brought into clear focus due to COVID-19. Since there is now a shortage of bread, supermarket shelves are bare, and the distraction of the circus of sports has been indefinitely removed from the culture, Americans are left with little to distract them from the cold, hard reality. Now, I live in a rural area, and it's actually, I've only come to the supermarket to find that there wasn't toilet roll there once in the whole of the last month. And there's been near on riots in the multicultural centres where people have just, you know, they've just been hoarding things that they don't need. So your average person or your old person, disabled, has gone out to go and get what they need, and there's nothing there. And in the cities, this is rampant. But in the rural areas that are still 99.9% white, everybody's looking after everybody else. And they're not hoarding stuff from the supermarkets. What do you make of this? These comments here, Matt, about the bread and the circuses disappearing from America. Is it all of America, or is it just the multicultural areas that are feeling like this?
Well, I live in Johnstown. I live just outside of Pittsburgh, and I've had no problems finding anything here. This is mostly a white area. We're still in northern Appalachia, and it's poor. You know, real estate prices have been depressed for decades, but I've had no difficulty. I've seen a few bare shelves only in the toilet paper department, but you know, it's easy to get if you go to, you know, if you go somewhere else. It has not been awful for me. I'm not seeing any psychological, you know, repercussions of any of this here. So that's not a problem. But this was my favorite article out of all of them, because he's absolutely right. All the U.S. has is you know, cheap commodities made elsewhere, sports and all other kind of spectacles. And those have been taken away. This is a gigantic risk for the regime to justify with bailouts or to justify a depression or to, you know, drive stocks to nothing and buy it up. And, of course, now with money costing almost nothing, these people can very easily buy all the stocks they want. This is going to purify oligarchy. This is going to get rid of all of the mid-level investors, because the fact is that, you know, small businesses can't handle this. Big businesses can. You know, big businesses don't like their competition at the mom and pop level. And that's really that's going to be the most painful thing out of all of this, is not only the psychological repercussions of this, if this lasts, you know, another month or two. And according to Trump, it seems to be that way. But when small businesses simply can't handle this, and there's not going to be any support for them, there's trillions of dollars to the bankers and to corporations so far, and they've already received their money and are going to keep receiving their money. There's going to be no support for anybody else. But, you know, there were bailouts in 2008, 2009, too. No one even noticed. You know, there was no unrest or anything like that. I have the feeling. But when you make people create this kind of situation, it's such a shock to the system. This is when they become suggestible. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go their way. That can go our way, because there's so many people who are you know, who realize that there's the regime is using this to their own benefit, and the press is more blatant than ever about censorship. They're far worse than ever before, and that power isn't going to be given back anytime soon. And governments are using this as an experiment to see how much they can get away with. There's no legal ground for any of their you know, shutting down businesses. There's no legal ground for this. I've been through all of the legislation having to do with emergency powers, and it doesn't mention any of this stuff, especially given that it's not really a huge emergency. Not that many people are dying. So they're not giving that power back either. But it is a risk for the regime, because when people are shocked like this, they may begin thinking differently. Their priorities may change. I'm not sure this was a great move for them.
Well, we may see rioting on the streets. I mean, there's no ethnic homogeneity to keep the communities together anymore. There's not even, you know, a national myth to keep America together anymore. It's just everyone out for themselves. Well, which is more dangerous, the coronavirus or the oligarchy? Coronavirus is not nearly as deadly as the cancerous corruption that is endemic in our oligarchic corporatocracy. For proof of that, look no further than Nancy Pelosi's emergency sick pay bill that exempts companies of over 500 employees from paying sick pay, and has a boatload of special exemptions for businesses below that threshold, which leaves all but 20% of workers eligible for benefits. The holes in Pelosi's bill are bigger than the gaping void where her brain and soul should be. This corruption of the elites is bipartisan, as evidenced by two Republican senators, Richard Burr and Kelly Loeffler, who is married to Jeffrey Sprechter, chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, who allegedly took advantage of classified briefings on the impending severity of coronavirus in late January and early February to pull off some slick insider trading maneuvers so they could cash in before the public had any clue what was coming, Both, of course, deny any impropriety. The egregious economic divide in America is further highlighted by the COVID-19 debate over whether to close schools amidst the crisis. The reason this debate raged on well past the rational time to act is that our education system is not a system of learning, but rather a glorified daycare and food delivery service. They tell us they could never ever pay for something so decadent and luxurious as healthcare, but then they magically pull $1.5 trillion out of their gold-plated butts in order to stave off a collapse of their own making. It is amazing how the lords of finance can make money miraculously appear in order to get things done when it is their exorbitant wealth on the line, and not the ordinary American's health and well-being. Coronavirus is a crisis that is revealing the ugly truth about America and the malignant character of its ruling class. The crisis is going to get worse before it gets better, but it will eventually get better. America, on the other hand, will only get much worse, with no hope that it is ever going to get better. And it's not much better in Britain. A lot of people that are self-employed are not going to be able to get any money because they started becoming self-employed in the last year, and you have to show three years of tax returns. We've had a million people that have signed on for universal credit, and that was so badly staffed that there was something like 100,000 people in a telephone queue, and there were people on the phone lines for like 3 days trying to get through. And if people do get sick pay, then all they get is under £100 a week to live on, which is not really enough to live on and pay the bills now, is it? And even the MPs have admitted that. So although I think things probably over here are a little bit better, because it is more than 20% of people that are eligible for benefits, I mean, it's not that much better. And this sounds awful, Matt. You know, it really does sound like America has stiffed the working class. What do you make of this and these the benefits that the American workers were supposed to get and have been cheated out of by Nancy Pelosi, really, I think, from this bill?
Well, one of the first things that I said when this really hit hard, or at least when the press said it did, and the press, you know, the government started shutting things down, the first thing out of my mouth is that we have been in a depression. The regime, the corporations are going to demand a bailout. This is the perfect cover for it. That's really what this is all about. We're now $1 trillion a day somehow has just appeared. You know, the metaphorical printing presses are going like crazy. The inflation is going to be out of control to support bankers and the blue chip stock companies, you know, which of course right off the bat tells you that these people can't function for a day in abnormal conditions without absolutely needing a massive bailout, or this is just an excuse. And yet the average person is now getting $1,500 in months from now, I guess, somehow. And you had Democrats and some Republicans that were fighting that. You actually had people saying, well, free money isn't the American way, as they go along with the massive bailout of all the major corporations and the banks. And the Republicans and the Democrats have been doing that, exempting, as you mentioned, the sick pay and everything else. And it's going to get worse and worse. And they now have nothing holding them back, because they could always blame the virus for this. They could say, well, this is an emergency. This is what we have to do. They could easily bury it. All the laws that are being passed, of all these riders buried. There's been a gun control bill working its way through Congress, banning all automatic weapons, which I've seen. I'm one of the first, you know, one of the few people even talking about it. But people also forget that on the 26th of March, Dr. Fauci just published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine that said that COVID is no more fatal than the flu, with a very, very low, you know, it's much lower, in fact, than the flu, either the same or lower. So he's admitting in the New England Journal of Medicine that this is really over nothing. But at the same time, we'll get in front of the TV cameras and say that there's going to be millions of deaths. And who the hell elected Bill Gates, where he's actually, you know, crafting legislation here and talking about what's going to happen in the future and all of the screenings and everything else. So you have oligarchs that are ruling directly now. All of this done under the cover of this so-called crisis. So on the one hand, it's a godsend for these people, but on the other, it's risky. It's just asset stripping at this point. They know the inflation rate is going to go through the roof. You have no production, and yet you have all of this money being created. You know, I said a long time ago, I said, you know, Americans could be in a depression, and because of the nature of the press, they won't even realize it. And that's what's happening here. But now at least they have something to blame.
Well, the German minister for the economy, he committed suicide the other day. And it's the same over here. People have got to wait 3 months. The self-employed have got to wait 3 months before they get any money. They've been told that they can get loans. And yet when they go to get these government loans, they're being told by the banks, oh, no, you have to, first off, you have to be, you know, you have to get a bank loan first. And then, of course, they're going to pay interest on that. And we've got an example here of a direct example of one of these bailouts. And it was for Boeing, of all companies. As the COVID-19 pandemic cripples airlines worldwide, Boeing is seeking billions in government handouts to weather the storm. But netizens insisted this would only be rewarding years of mismanagement and fatally defective aircraft. Despite spending the last 7 years shoveling tens of billions into a share repurchase initiative to beef up its stock price, driven in part by a $9 billion bailout on the heels of the 2008 financial meltdown, Boeing shares have plunged 57% in March alone. Now, as the global travel industry hits rock bottom amidst the coronavirus scare, Boeing is looking for tens of billions in government loan guarantees, according to Reuters. In other words, another bailout. While US President Donald Trump appears ready to fulfill the request, saying on Tuesday, "We have to absolutely help Boeing," many online were up in arms over the multi-billion dollar ask, insisting the company is undeserving of aid after borrowing and blowing billions to prop up its own stocks. Thanks to the Fed's artificially low interest rates, Boeing borrowed billions to buy back its own overpriced stock, wrote market analyst Peter Schiff. Now it's seeking a federal bailout to avoid selling that stock at a loss. Since the Republicans are Democratic socialists too, Boeing's bailout is likely in the bag. Critics also noted that problems with Boeing's ill-fated 737 MAX airliner, involved in a series of fatal crashes last year that left 346 people dead, remain unresolved, arguing that the company shouldn't receive a penny in corporate welfare after such catastrophic negligence. No bailout for Boeing. Their incompetence brought this on. Help people first over corporations, one user said. And, you know, I would question this Peter Schiff. I would question his motives. I mean, maybe he is wanting to actually buy up a lot of this stock very, very cheaply with a surname like Schiff. What do you make of this, Matt, this bailout of Boeing?
Well, I think they're singling Boeing out because, you know, they gave, you know, billions of dollars once the last bailout happened in bonuses and golden parachutes and everything else. But now with the 737 MAX, and I've been reading quite a bit about this, the design flaws have led to some, you know, horrible crashes, one in Asia, one in Air Ethiopia, because of a what seems to be a very obscure maladjustment, had these things crashing into the ground. And they're still demanding this corporate welfare. And they, you know, they're going to get it. And people will forget about this very quickly. But if there's going to be any kind of bailout, then the state should then own at least a chunk of these companies. But that's never going to happen. But if there's any proof that oligarchy exists and that mean you simply don't matter and that corporations and banks control everything, it's this. The fact that they could demand this kind of money, bailing out for all their mistakes, all their problems. I don't care what excuse that they use. They did it in 2008, that they could do as they please, knowing full well they're going to be bailed out. And of course, the money's always going to be there, no matter how much the government says it can't afford welfare, it can't afford Medicare, it can't afford unemployment. But all of a sudden, this money can appear. And it's not going to affect military spending. It's not going to affect invasions of other countries. That money is always going to be there to find that. But they had to fight to get a measly $1,500 to working people months from now. And I bet you they find a way to make that not going to happen. And it's bipartisan, you know, it's an oligarchy. And they figure, well, there's nothing stopping us because we always have this crisis to blame. We could do it under the cover of this crisis. So we could do as we please. So if there's any question that oligarchy rules completely, it's been solved now. But it's going to be forgotten. If a month from now this is lifted and things basically go back to normal, it's going to be forgotten.
Well, as you've pointed out many times, the economy was going to need a big bailout. So it's very fortuitous that this COVID-19 has come along and they've been able to use that as the excuse for this. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.